tuning in to episode 253 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly, and today is January 24th, 2014. I am just one of your humble hosts, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. And on the show this week, joining me, we've got Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Mark Hannix on Xbox Live, on PSN, Twitter, Steam, etc. Thank you very much.
Awesome to have you. Awesome to have you. Very pleasant, as always, Mark, as always. Also on the show, the Canadian that doesn't sound like a Canadian, Mr. Fraser Moore.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing great.
Good. Greetings from a very cold Canada.
You know what? This is where I should be making the weather comments, because I'm looking out and it's nice and warm. It's sunny outside. The problem is we're facing drought. So the jokes can only last for so long before, you know, we start really suffering consequences. So I'm actually praying for rain.
Well, we're not going to – we can go down the part of the future of you guys draining out the Great Lakes and all that stuff. That's coming in the future where we start to sell you water.
I've already been saying we should just be putting big blocks of ice into huge, like, cargo containers from Canada and just ship them down. By the time they get here, it's going to be melted. It'll be nice, fresh water. It's a perfect solution.
Yeah, the Canadian dollar nosedived this week, so you'd be getting a good rate on it, too.
I'm sending the paperwork now. And last but not least, Mr. Irish, Robin
Tate.
I
tell you what. I am one grumpy mood tonight. Yesterday I was 45 friggin' years old. I've had customers snipping at my knees and legs and arms all week long. And I tell you what, if this podcast doesn't get me into a good mood, nothing will. And worst of all, I come onto this podcast and Greg friggin' DeLacy tells me to stop speaking Irish at the listener's request. This is absolutely unacceptable, and I will not start to speak that American language that he speaks. I'm going to speak the Queen's English. Hello, Bongo the Sane here. Help.
I would like to put out for the record, I believe the Queen's English is different than Irish.
I live in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, right. Part of the UK and Great Britain. Thank you very much. I answer to the Queen, not the Taoiseach.
These all upstart, right, well, Americans, you I think you're outnumbered by the Commonwealth 3-1 tonight, right?
We built your country, so we did. We built it. You wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the Irish people. Now I'm being Irish. I'm British. Right. Shush.
And for the record, you would not be there had it not been for us, or have you already forgotten about it?
Oh, yeah,
Hitler.
World War II. We helped Jews out in World War II. We came over there and we saved your ass.
Yada yada. What did Al Murray say? He said, "If you're not in a fight from the beginning, you're not in a fight." Period.
Hey, we just came in and ended the fight. You know, that's what we do. We come in and we're fixers. We fix everything.
Drop that clanger, and that ended it. I actually see that one of those little men, those Japanese soldiers, one of the very, very last ones to surrender. He surrendered in 1994 or 1995. He refused to surrender, to refuse to believe that the World War II was over. He just passed away over the last week, so... Congratulations, sir. What a guy. Then in my Japanese listeners, I apologize.
And so, we finished the racist part of our podcast. Yes, and Mr. Fraser Morris, you have no room to make any kind of comments because, let's face it, you are the top hat for the United States, so...
Oh, yeah.
The clean part of America.
You're really part of America, whether you want to be or not.
Well, I can definitely don't want to be. That's not up for debate.
All right, well, let's talk about video games, because that's what this podcast is all about. Well, kind of. But, yeah, video games. That's mostly what we talk about. So, there was some gaming to be done this past week. Why don't I kick it off for once? I actually dabbled in Rise multiplayer for the first time just yesterday. Got on there. Shinyverse shot me off a message saying, "Hey, I picked up Rise on at the store the other day, and so I'm looking to get into it and play a little today and maybe do some multiplayer. If you haven't done any multiplayer, let me know." just so happened it was my lunch hour, so I said, let's do it right now. Let's jump in. So get in there, quite a bit of fun, but we had no clue what we were doing. We just kind of dove into it. It's fun. It's, you know, I don't know the lasting long appeal of it because, I mean, it really is just horde mode, Spartan style, or you know, in skirts, yes. And in fact, one of the things about it is as you gain experience, kind of like Mass Effect 3 in their multiplayer, you unlock booster packs that you can basically spend your in-game currency on. And then it's like, you know, it's like a treasure chest. You open it up and you find out what you got in there. And so we both had earned enough for our first one, and so we both opened it up, and Shiny makes a comment. He got a dangerous skirt. So Shiny is wearing a dangerous skirt.
See, I think it'd be
not for the first time.
Monty Python-esque sort of Life of Brian stuff. Like, you open one up and you've got Albatross in it. Albatross! Get your Albatross! Die with the Romans! Die with them! Die with the Romans! Romans, countrymen! The Romans out! It'll be an action. Yeah. Do you know what? There's a great idea. A Life of Brian mod for Rise. That'd be friggin' brilliant. Romans out.
That might be good.
And one of the little submissions where you had to write Romans out in Latin up on the wall 100 times. That'd be really, really cool. That would be a different gameplay. Hiya, mother. This is Judith.
Yeah. But here's the probably even funnier than everything is the fact that in the multiplayer. No, you should not. But the multiplayer is actually more diversified in terms of the enemies you face. So
different hats, right? Okay.
They had different hats. I swear to God, I was like, oh my God, they listened to me.
Did one of them have a dangerous skirt on?
Oh, there were several dangerous skirts. Yes. But anyway, so it was pretty comical. On top of everything, at one point we pulled off one of those double executions, which I'd completely forgot was in the game, and we suddenly realized we both were stabbing the same guy. And I'm like, what? Oh, that was cool. So, but you know what? It was fun, and you know, I really hope they give Rise a sequel, and that they can address some of the bigger issues that they had, because this game was. It was close to being something really, really good, as opposed to being just good in my eyes. And I know it got some, you know, mediocre marks from a lot of different outlets. And again, I'm not going to discredit what they said, because I think that it was definitely merit in a lot of what they said. But Rise is a much better game than I think what the kind of the Metacritic score shows at the end of the day.
What was the final Metacritic score? Was it in its
it was 70s? Like around, yeah, I think it was actually lower than that. I think it was like 66 or somewhere around there.
Well,
so,
you know, that's still above it, average. You know, you know.
Let's face it. These days, if it's not, man, it's not worth your time by everybody's standards out there. So, anyway,
you think a lot of reviewers are snobby. This happens quite a bit. Well, there was another game quite recently that, which was reviewed quite badly, but everybody loved.
I remember some people like gave The Last of Us a difficult time for certain aspects of the story, and I didn't agree with that at all. But, you know, yeah, I review. This is one of those things where, you know, as a gamer, you have to find some trusted people that you can either listen to or you read their reviews and know that they're a similar gamer to you. And so you can trust maybe more what their reviews are going to say versus just what everybody out there says. Because oftentimes there are game reviewers out there that have some hidden agendas. Maybe they're angry at some company, and so they review that game. They're not going to give it necessarily a fair shake where they're going to overly criticize it. Or on the flip side, they're going to be overly generous because maybe they're, you know, kind of a fanboy to that platform or that developer. And so, you know, it's like Mike Chinn with Grand Theft Auto 5, you know, that game was going to be great no matter what. And, you know, we know how much of a Grand Theft Auto fan he is.
Well, you know? I mean, he did criticize it a bit. I'll give him that. He did criticize it a bit.
Only weeks later because we put pressure on him and threatened him. That was really what happened. Anyway. All right, so Battlefield 4, got some more multiplayer time in on that. Really kind of enjoying getting into Battlefield 4, especially since it's been working perfectly fine for me. Had another one of those epic, you know, counter knife kills, and I recorded it, and once again forgot to do something with it. So, again, not saved.
How do you record it then, and why isn't it saved?
So, the thing with the Xbox One is you can say record that, and it will record the last 30 seconds. So if you do something kind of crazy, and you're like, holy crap, I wanted to catch that on video, you just say, Xbox, record that, boom, done. It records it, and it saves it temporarily. And before you turn the console off, you have to tell it to basically save and upload whatever record that video files you have in there that you want to keep. Otherwise, it will wipe them from the memory and it won't keep them.
Okay.
To me, I think that's a flaw, and I think that hopefully they'll patch that in so that anything that you say record that gets a hard save. And maybe some of these memorable gaming moments, like the 50,000 that Peggle 2 records, will actually be temporary game saves, because honestly, half the time, actually all the time with Peggle 2, I don't need to see those recordings.
I've switched mine off. I've switched it off so it only
activates. You can switch it off?
Yeah, you can go into the settings. I've switched mine to auto record, and now it only works when I say Xbox record that. So, which is.
That's SM Art, Robin. You are a savior. I will be doing that as soon as that's.
Man.
All right, Forza 5. We've had this little Laguna Seca time challenge, a hot lap challenge. And somebody in this room is leading the pack. Somebody in this room is in the middle of the pack. And somebody in this room is not quite there.
That'll be me.
But, Mark, let's face it. We know you're going to get up there.
I don't know. It took me about 15 laps to beat your time, and then you just go smash it in no time in an old beat-up bloody Beetle.
I think it's great. I think it's great that we're breathing a bit of life into this, because it's been so much fun. And it was so much fun before, so, and I know I've been ragging on Twitter to get people to join in. So it's great now that there is quite a few of us.
We need to get another
so
championship going, don't we?
Yeah.
Very much so.
I think so. I think it's about time. That would be a good thing, because I definitely have been enjoying the hot lap challenge. And what I like, and I didn't realize, and I'm so glad they fixed this in Forza 5. One of the few things we can say they fixed over Forza 4 is when you go in and you're tuning, you now can see the actual the benchmarking as you change parts.
Yeah.
So it no longer is where you had to you made all the adjustments, or you upgraded all the parts, and then you went into the setup and you started to actually tune, and you'd make some adjustments and tune, and then you had to go to benchmark, and it took you out of it, and it out of the setup area, and you had to go to a specific benchmark area, and then you saw how well your car performed. Now you can see the benchmarking using the D-pad as you're making tweaks. And so it makes tuning so much more fun.
Unfortunately, Hot Lap Challenge is a lot more difficult. Where before you could go into anybody, if you go into the friends leaderboard, I could choose the person above me. Oh, there is no one above me. Okay.
Smart.
You could pick on their profile and go and race their ghost. And the only way you can do this now is through the very next person above you on the global leaderboards and race the ghost.
I think you can go in and select a rival.
Yeah, you can do it after the race. I've noticed.
Yeah,
you have to
after the
challenge.
Race. Yeah. You have to start a race and quit almost immediately to get that challenge. But that's only the next person above you. So you couldn't go to, say, number one on the global leader list and see that ghost. You can't do that. You can watch the lap, but you can't race the ghost. And that was a simple little thing.
Maybe this is their way of saying, you know what, slow your roll. Let's be realistic here. Take the person right above you.
Yeah, well, maybe. But, I mean, what is this showing as well, the lack of the club, the racing club, where here we're racing just on friends' leaderboard rather than seeing exactly who is in the club and who is in this challenge and stuff like that there. So, yeah, it is lacking a lot, but it's still brill.
It's still a great game, but it definitely misses. Like, the club feature was so great. I truly hope they can bring that back. If not, patch that into this game, at least for future Forzas, understand that was something that was such a great addition that they should have never done away with it.
I can't believe
anyway.
It's been like nearly 3 months now since since launch, and we still haven't got the marketplace. You can't buy tunes.
Yeah, that's a weird little thing. So, you can go in. Ironically, you can go in and get pre-made tunes from tuners.
Yeah,
that they've shared their tune, and you can go in and find those, but. There's nothing in the marketplace for using in-game currency for paint jobs or for tune setups.
No.
That's all missing, and I just wonder what exactly that marketplace is going to be, because it's not even for DLC. I mean,
but maybe
it's a big...
I'm going to talk a wee bit on my... But, sorry, it was crossover now. Last night I got an achievement for... leading 1,000 miles in multiplayer races. Now, I play this all with randoms. That's a big ask. But when you finish a race, the results table, as you go over the line, you could press the little hamburger button on your controller, and it brings up the correct listing of your time and your position. But when you go to the section where it shows the end results, those results are always jumbled up. Or it shows that everybody didn't finish DNF. I mean, it has to be a very small fix, but a very annoying thing. And there hasn't really been an update to really rectify any of this sort of stuff. I read some of their updates. It's like, oh yeah, the dashboard shading in such and such a car, we've updated and fixed that. But none of these annoying things have been tackled at all. So they need to get at it. I've put in 239 hours into this game since November. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Get it sorted.
Yeah. Get it sorted. Exactly. Speaking of getting it sorted, I won't go into detail because there was... Well, I already spoke about Titanfall before in the beta last weekend. Finished it up on Monday. It's going to be a fantastic game. I'm pretty much convinced. I did a lot of playtime over the weekend. And I also came to the realization, or basically had gone back in and read some things, that not only were you not supposed to be sharing videos and or taking screen pictures, but you also weren't supposed to be actually sharing details of the beta, which, of course, everybody under the sun broke that NDA. Needless to say, I mean, I talked a lot about Titanfall last week, and pretty much what I had said there sticks. I don't think anything I said about kind of what I experienced was inaccurate. But I will just again say, this game is fun. It's on foot when you're a pilot. It feels very comfortable in a Call of Duty kind of way, but with the parkour jumping of, say, a Brink. But the parkour jumping actually works even more efficiently than Brink, if you ask me. And then getting into the mechs and being inside of a Titan really changes. It slows down the pace of kind of what you're doing. You feel like you're in something lumbering and huge and hulking, and it definitely adds a different dynamic to the battlefield. Once you know there's a Titan in and around you, you do not show your head if you can at all avoid it. Or if it's engaged with something else, say another Titan, you may get risky and try and, you know, jump onto the back of the Titan and take it out. There are so many different elements to the gameplay, and what I also am excited about is the fact that I know there's a lot more they aren't telling us or having shown us. So I know that there's at least 3 other Titan models, but I'm anticipating there being additional Titan models. I think this game is prime to have some kind of horde mode as well, and I don't know that that's going to happen because they did say this is an online competitive multiplayer game, so, you know, the straight up notion is that it's just going to be a versus multiplayer, but it seems like this could be something they could implement pretty easily to be, you know, some kind of co-op thing as well, a horde mode where we could just team up and defend waves and waves and waves of baddies. Anyway, Titanfall, my excitement level is much, much higher. And in fact, I did a little write up in the forums over at Gate, under the shooter area. threw down some impressions there as well. So if you missed last week's podcast, you can certainly go in there and have a quick look.
While we're on the subject of Titanfall, the Xbox One version we know is going to be really, really good. But don't you find it funny that we've seen nothing of a 360 version?
You know, it is and it isn't. And I guess here's my take on that. I think that the Respawn guys actually are only working on the Xbox One and PC version.
Yeah, they're not working on the 360. Yeah.
So they're wanting to promote the newer versions because that's the game that they're making. It's being ported by somebody else. And I think we had a story on it. I can't remember who it was. We talked about it a couple episodes back about who it's suspected now is doing the porting of this game. But, you know, the reality is it's leading on Xbox One and PC, and that's the game that they're wanting to promote. The 360 version, you know, who knows how that's going to end
up. Did this not recently happen with Black Flag as well, that they didn't see any of the 360 or PS3 versions until... almost the very last minute, isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, that was happening with Watch Dogs
And it turned out okay on Xbox, didn't it? Black Flag.
Okay.
I think it'll be okay. I mean, maybe you're right.
I hope it is, because there's a lot of 360s out there, and there's a lot of people going to be getting it on 360. And I just hope they're not going to be disappointed.
I hope so, too, because, I mean, nobody ever wants to get a disappointing game, for sure, especially on something with as much hype behind it as this has. I don't know what to say on that, because, I mean, we haven't seen any of the footage. It certainly makes you nervous.
Yeah.
But I can say, at least for Xbox One and PC, I think those gamers are going to be fairly happy with what they get.
We'll find out in March, won't we?
Yes. And then, lastly... we had talked about this, I believe, last week. There was a website called Xboxy, and there's another site for Sony version as well. Basically, it's a browser-based website, Xboxy.com, Xbox, and then IE at the end of it, .com. It has a bunch of Flash games on there, and people were talking about how you could go on to this through your Xbox One or through the PlayStation One, and I want to say it's like... I won't even guesstimate what the Sony one is, but it's something kind of similar to Xboxy, and you can go in and play HTML5 games right in the browser. And I went over and took a look because they were saying, you basically are kind of getting a bunch of little indie games you can play right on your Xbox One. And look, yes, you can. I played Pac-Man using my 360 controller, not my 360, my Xbox One controller, through the Internet Explorer browser, using the D-pad to control the Pac-Man. You know what?
After you played Titanfall.
Yeah, after I played Titanfall, exactly. I just got to the website and I realized nobody in their right mind is ever going to come here to play these little Flash games when there are countless other games you can play. It makes no sense. So
right, disappeared.
Excuse me. That's okay. You're back. You're alive. Mm-hmm. Xboxy, sure, you can go there if you want, but don't get caught up in this hype that it's some like garden of little indie games that you can just play. There's just no. I would never ever recommend this to anybody. anyway. That's it. That's it for me. That was everything I played. So, Mark, why don't we go to you next?
Done a bit more this week than last week. Last weekend, a few of us went a bit retro and did some Halo 4 multiplayer, and that was a load of fun. There was a couple of guys we haven't played with for quite a while who are still on the 360. It's Frozen Death Bell, and It's a Zombie Duck. It was nice to catch up with them guys. So that was a good night. And then tonight we've been doing a bit of Battlefield 4 multiplayer, so that was fun as always. My main gaming has been, I've been trying to finish Infamous 2. I talked about it last week. I'm nearly there. I'm on the sort of like last stretch now. The final boss has made it to my city from Empire City. He's gone all the way down the East Coast and he's there. He's ready to kick my ass. I've just got a couple more side missions to do, and then I think I'm ready to complete that. So hopefully by next week that'll be done.
Have you found that a bit of a grind, Mark?
Not as much as the first one.
Oh, I didn't find the first one a grind at all. This one, second one, I found it a hell of a grind.
Right. No, I've enjoyed it. Because there's a bit more variety in this one, I find, with the different powers and stuff, and the different enemies. And the last game I've played is a Vita game, and it's Killzone Mercenary. It was in the January sale, so I picked that up because I've heard a lot of good things about it. And for a handheld, for a first-person shooter, this game is really good. It looks absolutely superb. It sounds good, especially with the headphones on. It controls really well. Obviously, you're a mercenary, so you're sort of like hired as a hired gun. And there's these like stashes where you can go upgrade your weapons and buy new weapons. And to get money, every time you kill an enemy, you get money for that. And you can pick up their ammo and you get money that way. And obviously completing different levels, you get a payout for completing your mission. So it's quite good. I'd recommend it. It'll be interesting to see if I do a conversion of that to go onto the main consoles.
You do have to wonder. I mean,
they've done it with Assassin's Creed, haven't they? Liberation.
Yeah, they did, but I don't know that they would, you know, kind of take that away from the Vita I think they're looking for reasons for people to buy a Vita, and Killzone Mercenary certainly is one of those titles that's kind of a reason.
Yeah. I've not tried the multiplayer yet, but I've heard from a few people the multiplayer is pretty good as well.
Yeah. Well, awesome.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Mr. Tate, why don't we jump over to you? I know we covered a little bit of the Forza 5 already, but there's some other games on your list.
Well, one of this month's free games with gold on Xbox 360 was Lara Croft, and that was Guardians of Light, came out a while ago. Diablo-esque. Played some of this last Sunday with my young lad, my 8-year-old, who managed it very, very well.
Awesome.
So the co-op is one person is Lara with the lovely leggies. And one gentleman is a sort of local guy who has not been awake for a few hundred years. And it looks, quite Diablo-esque in its graphical style. And it's just sort of puzzles, and it's quite pleasant, and there's a nice enough little shooting mechanic in it. And the co-op thing is quite fun. For free, it was a good purchase. So we've played the first couple of chapters of it, and we'll rattle through it together, maybe do a bit more this weekend, and... yeah, it's a good fun game. So grab it for free if you haven't played it already. I don't know.
I'm going to chime in and give my support for that game because I think that's one of the best games for the year that came out. I think it wasn't last year, maybe the year before, but I absolutely loved that game. And some of the best times I had with that game were playing online with other people, but no headset, where you just had to you were trying to communicate through your actions on how to solve puzzles or guide the other player through. I just think it's so well designed. It's a really, really slick sort of small title. I thought it was brilliant.
I'll chime in on it too. I absolutely love that game. I do think it is a game to be played co-op. I think it does suffer a little bit when you try to play it single player because you end up kind of getting both the special powers, so to speak, that the co-op players have. So I believe one has the ability to... shoot the grappling hook, and the other one can basically throw spears, which can stick into the walls and be used as like a platforming piece.
Brittany!
And so, so in co-op, you have to work together because you each have your own separate little powers, but in single player, they combine everything up into the one person, and...
Yeah, I've seen that.
I don't know, it kind of it takes some of the magic away from it, but overall, it is a really, really good game.
Yeah, lots of fun.
So,
shortly after that, I walked into the other room, and a couple of my lads were playing Joyride Turbo, which is a little sort of kart racing fun little game that came out last year. And I sat down and played a bit with them because you can have couch co-op four people, which is great fun.
So this was kind of their Mario Kart game?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of, yeah. But you play with your avatar in a car. It's pretty shallow. There's not a lot of depth to it.
Yeah. The problem with this game, if you remember, Robin, is way back when, they released this out as a Kinect-only game.
Oh, that's right. It came out,
it was Kinect-only, and it was just Joyride, and you had to use your hands to steer. It was absolutely trash. And the worst offense of it all was that you could see that there actually was a good game there, but because they were trying to shoehorn in the Kinect controls into it, which, yeah, wasn't that precise. It just it didn't do well at all. And they turned around and they reskinned it, so to speak, with, you know, 360 controller input, and the game plays actually quite well. And I just think back and I'm like, man, if they had only done the either or option with that game when they were selling it originally, that game probably would have sold really well as an arcade release. But because they had made it Kinect only, I just don't think that people, you know, obviously people didn't buy into it, and it suffered for it.
Well,
I
caught myself playing it, you know, for 10-minute, 15-minute periods a couple of times this week, which, you know, and I'll go back and I'll probably just grab all my achievements out of it. But it was fun, and a good fun thing with the boys, so that was great. Yeah. more serious stuff then. I went and completed my second playthrough of Diablo 3.
Your second playthrough?
Yeah, so I'm now on to, that was in Hell, I think it's Hell mode, and then you go into Nightmare mode, or the other way around, whatever it is.
Can I ask how long a single playthrough is, about, in hours?
Maybe 12, 14 hours, maybe a bit longer, maybe 20, I don't know. But it is one of those games you can, again, switch on and just sort of kind of drop out with it. But I have to say, the second playthrough was even better than the first, because my character is now one badass, you know, really fantastic part. Nearly, don't have all of the powers yet, all of the leveling trees, but wow, I mean, I throw down a storm of snowballs and meteors on these guys, and electric that comes out of my hands, Star Wars-y style, and on so many fantastic things, and it's just, it's brilliant. And the second time around, the monsters get harder and faster, and you're more powered, and it gets hectic and frenetic, and the story's crap. It really is crap. But it is lots of fun.
It's all about the loot, right? I mean, this is the console version is basically what helped fix the PC version.
Yeah. No, so it's brilliant. You know, Diablo 3 is fantastic, and I think it's something that I will continue to dabble back with.
Are you going to make the next-gen leap?
Yeah, I probably will.
I think I'll be there with you.
And Diablo 3 would be, if it comes to Xbox One, which I'm sure it will eventually, I think it's going to come to PS4 first. But if it comes to Xbox One, that's the sort of game I will buy digital. So it's there and always there. Like Forza right now, it's there, it's installed, no discs, and you can just jump
just fire it up
quickly.
Whenever.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of those ones that I'll definitely flog out for that. And finally, again, Forza 5, my drug. As
You're
I say,
child.
Yeah, 1,000 miles in multiplayer, going for the whole lot, 239 hours. Had a look on the True Achievements website, which I'm a member of, which you help for some help in getting achievements, but it also, if anybody isn't involved with True Achievements, if an achievement is worth 10 gamer score normally, and it's quite a difficult achievement, the True Achievements site, they sort of put a weight on that. So if it's a difficult achievement, they have a separate scoring system, that achievement might be worth 16 or 20, or if it's not worth it at all, it'll be just sort of really easy 10. So I had a look at on the timing, and they have 12,500 people registered playing Forza 5 on True Achievements. As far as the length of time that people have played it, I am now in the top 200, and that's like frightening and kind of cool all at once. So yeah,
it is scary and cool. Yes, I would agree.
So yeah, a busy get busy week, but I've squeezed in some gaming. There's been some handheld stuff as well there, but. That's been my main joy this week. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I believe that leaves Mr. Fraser Moores.
Yep, I've had a number of things on the go this week. I'll start off, I'm quite into my Steam trading cards. I'm always keeping an eye on my games that have cards and make sure that
nerd.
I'm collecting. Well, you know, yeah, the pot kettle black.
Fair play,
Yeah, and so I had a booster pack dropped for anyone who's not familiar with Steam cards. If you've dropped all the cards you can for a game on Steam, then you're eligible for a booster pack, and then occasionally one of these packs will drop, and you'll get more cards. And so I got a booster pack dropped for Saints Row the Third, which gave me, I think it was 6 out of the 7 cards. So I went and I bought the last card for like 20 cents or something. So that enabled me to craft the badge and increase my Steam experience and
you
whatever.
You're part of the problem, Fizzer.
I am. But I'm okay with that. And then what happened?
Because she likes my card.
Yeah, so anyway, so it crafted me. I crafted this, the badge, and it gives you experience points and whatnot. But it also they also throw in like an emoticon you can use if you're on the Steam chat, and a background for your profile. But they also dropped in there a 90% discount voucher for a game called Tiny Bang Story.
Yeah,
Tiny
baby!
Bang Story.
And I have all these discount vouchers, and usually I'll go take a look and whatever and pay them no notice if I don't really think that much of them. But 90%, this was a $4.99 game anyway. 90% right. Was 50 cents. And I looked at it and looked okay, and I download and I thought, okay, whatever, it's 50 cents. But I've just spent 25 cents on a stupid card. So, yeah, I downloaded that. That was last Saturday morning, and I didn't get up for 3 hours until I finished it. It was just brilliant.
Yeah.
So Tiny Bang Story is basically nothing. I say nothing more, but that's not doing it justice. But it in its essence, it's a point-and-click adventure with heavy elements on hidden objects. So if anybody's into the sort of like the hidden object games.
Yeah,
well, sort of like a Where's Wally, but there's a lot of hidden object games that or hog games that they're sort of subtitled to or abbreviated to, where you're just looking for items within a picture. And the way this one works, it is you'll have a picture of a scene, and there are things that move and whatnot. And the more things you find, then that opens up a mechanical something or whatever that will open up a new door, which enables you to go find more bits. And you're constantly finding these objects and piecing together the puzzle. And then it'll also throw in a full puzzle type game, so you'll now get a new screen where you have to like rearrange something or figure it out anyway. And it's just a charming game. It was relaxing. It's got lovely music behind it. The art style is wonderful. The pace was fine. It wasn't too difficult, but some of them you had to think about. Like I said, I sat until I finished it, and it was 2 or 3 hours gone out of my day for like 50 cents. Absolutely brilliant.
Where does the bang come in?
I'm not sure where that comes from. I have no idea. Every time I want to talk about it, I have to go look up what it was called, because I don't know where they get Tiny Bang Story from. But yeah, if you happen to come across that, or you see it in a little sale,
life.
Yeah, yeah, it's good, very good.
So you can get it on the iPad as well, according to their website.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's a charming little game. So I definitely was pleased. That was my surprise of the week. You know, and that was, there's just something about finding a game out of nowhere that comes out of completely out of left field, and just you get so much enjoyment from that you haven't really hunted for. It was just, that was probably my game, yeah, definitely my gaming experience of the week. It was brilliant. I've also been playing Broken Age by Double Fine, Tim Schafer's, Tim Schafer's new game.
Been hearing some good things.
Yeah, I haven't played a lot of it, so I'm not going to. I can't give you too much detail on it. But I did play it for the first hour or so. I want to say it's sort of like a point and click adventure game again. But I mean, with Tim Schafer, there's so much. You're presented with so much animation and story and character.
Right.
The big game basically starts off. You can choose between two people. So there's one guy called Shay, and if you choose to start off in Shay's world, you have this sort of lackadaisical teenager who's running a spaceship and who has a computer. You know, typical with Tim Schafer, there's lots of characters.
Right.
And they're, you know, very well developed and very funny. But I didn't go down his path of the adventure for very long. I switched over to another girl who's called Vela, and I stuck with that for a bit longer. And that starts off with, it seems to be that she's involved in some sort of ceremony where she's been sacrificed to a god of the village. And later on, the god of the village turns up, and you're trying to figure out a way to get through that scenario. It's very interesting. It's very good, very slick. For anybody who doesn't know, this was originally put out as a Kickstarter project by Tim Schafer.
Right.
And I think their initial goal was to raise $400,000, and they ended up raising something like $3.1 million.
Oh, yeah, they went crazy.
Yeah.
So question for you. Do the two different characters, do they ever, like, interact?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they do later on. At the moment, Shay's up in space, in his spaceship, and Vela's down below doing whatever she's doing with this, her village. So I'm not sure.
But they're, like, in the same, like, universe, so to speak. It's not just two, like, completely separate storylines.
Well, that I don't know. You know, so far they haven't mixed. I haven't played it to the end yet. This is only the first installment as well. Apparently,
right.
The second installment is going to be coming out later in the year. So we'll see.
Is the humor quite wacky? I mean, I know with Tim you have to kind of get into their heads. Like, you know, it would be like, you know, put a chicken on top of your head to solve this problem sort of thing. Or put a chicken inside a bag of spaghetti. You know, but you have to really get into their weird sense of humor to get some of the puzzle stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be normal. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And it's only like not to give, you know, I won't give a spoiler actually, but you know, one of the answers to the thing is to give somebody a cupcake, right, out of nowhere. How you get, you know, it's all that sort of stuff, as you'd expect.
I would just like to point out, I think the world's problems would probably be solved if everybody just gave one another cupcakes. You know. We're having a, you know, border dispute. Have a cupcake.
It'd have to be
my wife was 40, her 40th birthday last year, and instead of getting a birthday cake, I got a cake stand made, and I got 40 and one of my clients to make 40 nice cupcakes, all different ones, and we had a cupcake cake, and
there you go.
That was kind of cool. Yeah, that was, life was good that day.
Yeah. Cupcakes solving world problems.
Yeah.
And all right.
Since 2012.
Sorry. Yeah. Fraser, I'm sorry. We totally interrupted you.
No, that's okay. So that's Broken Age. I think it's not actually got a proper, unless you're on the Kickstarter, it's not released until sometime this week, I think. So
okay.
That's coming up. But well worth a look if you're into that sort of thing. I also had from Stu Fowler told me to get Year Walk for the iOS. So I did that, and I finished that.
Did you regret it, or did you agree with them?
No, I didn't regret it. It's definitely, if anybody listens to veteran gamers, this definitely falls into the weird and shit pile, but it's not really that shit. It's not shit. So, it's weird.
It's the weird and shit pile. Well, it's not really shit, but it's kind
of... No, but it would fall into the weird and shit debate that Chinny would have with him. So.
I think they've tackled a few of those weird and shit games over the last week in Veteran Gamers.
Yeah, just a bit, yeah.
Richard Primrose was singing its praises, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, which actually dumps down on the weird and shit pile. Love you, Rich.
It's worth a look, definitely. I found it very interesting. I stuck with it. It's not the easiest game to play. It's I'd like to play the second game. It almost feels like this one, he's finding his feet making the game.
Is the aesthetic detail not just quite right yet? No,
I think the aesthetic detail is there. I just think maybe the balance of how difficult it was and the length of it. I mean, seems to be masses of detail into, it's all based around Norwegian starving yourself in a hut and then going out and walking in the woods at night to find the demons and find yourself, and it's full of all this mythology and stuff.
God,
like that.
People pay for that now at a health spa? It's just amazing.
I know. It's you see, there's the weird part of it. It's okay. I don't know. It's one of those games that's difficult to sort of nail down and say. You have to experience it, right? It's one of those games. It's
Fair enough.
It's okay. It was all right.
Okay.
And then...
That's back of the box quote right there.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay. You might like it. but don't, you know, but don't quote me on that on the back of the box. And then also for my sins, I have, I know it was Bongo sent, we were sending some messages back and forth on Xbox. Because we just became friends on Xbox. you said, you asked me why I hadn't finished Indiana Jones 2, Lego Indiana Jones 2.
Mm. I didn't really have anything else. You've almost completed every single Lego game to a 100% completion.
Yeah, I know.
Nearly
every
single one. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got up at one of my go-to places for rent for getting Lego games is our local library rents video games. So I went down there the other day to see if they had Indy 2, and they didn't, but they also had, they did have Lego Harry Potter 2.
Mm.
So I picked that up, and I've been playing that. Love it.
Yeah,
I haven't really got a lot
Lego
of
games.
Yeah,
we've played a lot, but you're a serious contender compared to us, guys.
Yeah, well, I had this discussion with someone the other day, and the fact that these games are great for my house because my kids are always around. Well, not always around, but if they are around, I can have these games on with no worries. I can walk off and they can play them, you know, and that is, that brings a lot of value to a game for me.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've been having some fun with that. We did play Lego The Hobbit, but they found that a bit too dark. One of my youngest is only 5. She found that a little bit too much. But the Harry Potter games, they love.
Speaking of, well, not The Hobbit, but The Lord of the Rings, have you guys seen the video for the new Lord of the Rings game?
No. Does it look good?
Oh, yeah. I just saw the video earlier today. I had no idea this game was even out there. And for the life of me, the title of the game is escaping me, but I want to say it's like Lord of the Rings Middle of Earth 2 or something to that effect, but it looks like kind of Assassin's Creed almost mechanics for your character. And it just check it out. Go look for the new Lord of the Rings video. It's the developer does a little kind of walkthrough on the game talking about how you're going to kind of, it's almost like an open world, and you're going to have different missions, and you'll be able to basically have consequences to your actions, and it just, by and away, impressed me more than I thought I was going to be impressed with the Lord of the Rings game. But anyway, sorry, Fraser, anything else?
Just a final mention that I continue playing QuizUp, and Mark has joined the QuizUp clan. Which he didn't mention on his I've been playing, so yeah. We've been firing.
Oh, I've been playing it today.
Well, we have been firing quizzes back and forth at each other, so that's been good. So, but that's it.
A rivalry has been born.
A little one, yep.
All right. Well, let's dive into some news headlines from this past week, because you know, it always seems like when we think there's going to be no news, there seems to be a ton of news. A few controversial news items hit early in the week, and they're definitely newsworthy to talk about. So the first one that came up was, I mean, this erupted like wildfire. It became known that Microsoft and Machinima had gone in on a promotions deal to promote Xbox One videos on Machinima sites and YouTube partner Machinima sites. So... The big hubbub about it, though, was that the deal was kind of under NDA. And so any YouTubers that basically took part in this partners program with Machinima to do the Xbox One partner program basically couldn't talk about any of the specifics of the game, nor could they have any disparaging comments about the Xbox One system in the video in order for them to basically get paid for views on the video. Now, the whole campaign itself was about $4,000 that was going to be paid out to YouTubers, so we're not talking huge megabucks here. But needless to say, people got wind of this. Everybody went crazy because they're like, oh my God, they're paying for, you know, people to promote their videos, Microsoft, the evil empire, and a lot of people concerned that it was violating FTC regulations, that it was somehow illegal. A joint statement from Machinima and Microsoft came out shortly, after everything kind of really blew up, and said this partnership between Machinima and Microsoft was a typical marketing partnership to promote Xbox One in December. The Xbox team does not review any specific content or provide feedback on content. Any confidentiality provisions, terms, or other guidelines are standard documents provided by Machinima. For clarity, confidentiality relates to the agreements themselves, not the existence of the promotion. So, in a nutshell, what that was saying was, look, Microsoft went into this deal with Machinima. Machinima then goes into the deal with all of their partner YouTubers that they deal with, and any agreement between them and the YouTubers, as them as in Machinima and the YouTubers, is basically between them. But that, you know, in essence, the deal promotion or the content of the deal was supposed to be kept under wraps, but the fact that they're part of this promotion program shouldn't have been kept quiet. Now, what has since also come to light, one is that this actually wasn't illegal, that the FTC has stepped in on it, and they've talked about their guidelines and the fact that also they weren't or would never go after, say, a blogger that didn't make this announcement, which kind of, you know, they didn't announce that maybe they were getting paid for a promotional video. To me, I don't know, it seems a little weird, because why would you even have that guideline if you're not willing to enforce it? But on top of that, it came to light that EA has been doing the very same thing. The EA Ronku program basically is paying for YouTubers for game coverage with rules that were basically the same thing as Machinima. And then even people like Conan O'Brien. So, Conan O'Brien does his, I can't remember the name of the segment now, where he basically plays a video game and just it's complete crap, or, you know, he's totally horrible at it, makes fun of it the entire time. Those segments actually are paid for by the video game companies, because they want to get their game up on the Conan O'Brien show. And they don't disclose that at all. And you know, their reasoning, as why they don't make any disclosure that it's a paid for promotion, is because, well, they're not technically reviewing anything. And I think that's part of the issue that was coming under this with Microsoft as well as EA, is that they're not asking these YouTubers to actually review and or endorse any of the product, merely just showing the videos was all that was requested.
Didn't they also clarify, not to make Microsoft out to be the bad guys here, is that they didn't add this clause into this contract. It was Machinima that added the clause into the contract after it was done. Did you read what was up there?
Yeah. In the notes? No, that is correct. So the clause actually was coming from Machinima. And so, you know, the realities are, this stuff happens. This stuff is happening now all over the place. And the big reason why it's happening is because social media has become not just a place for us to socialize in, but it's become a place for us to get information. And when you're getting information, you know, you're accessing and researching things and seeking out information. That's where advertisers want to be. That's where people want to get their product information out. So, you know, while yes, these little deals, you know, and I say little just because of the dollar amount that was involved in the particular deal, but these deals come to light. It's shocking. People are like, I can't believe it's happening. It's happening everywhere.
Is it shocking?
I
don't either.
Non-story sort of thing, you know?
It harks back to what you said before, Greg, when you said, you know, you need to find reviewers that you trust who you know, are like-minded like you and not biased and whatever. And, you know, it's no surprise there. I mean, it comes back to that sort of quote about Facebook, you know, what's the product? Facebook isn't the product, you are. You know, you're being advertised at all the time.
Mm. Yeah. And I will just say this, in my own personal dealings within my own business world, I have come across very, very, very similar things like this, where companies are saying, well, you know, we really want to do some kind of suggested content with you guys and work with you, but we also, this is separate from advertising, so we're not going to pay for it, wink, 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 but, oh, here's their advertising, contact point as well, so maybe you can work with them, you know, about doing some paid for advertising as well. Those kind of things also happening all the time.
Bills got to get paid. The bills have got to get paid.
Yeah, and it is thin, and I know it feels slimy, and I know probably there's many people listening to this podcast right now that are rolling their eyes and being like, no, that's bullshit, you shouldn't be doing that. You know what, it is only going to get worse. I'll tell you that right now, it is just going to get worse as social media becomes a bigger, you know, front face, if you will, for how we take our information in. So, you know, I don't know that there's a perfect solution. Clearly, I think one of the things that, you know, 100% should be happening is that, you know, whenever you're part of a partnership program and getting money from other advertisers, it just needs to be public information somewhere. That I think is the proper way to be handling this. And, you know, to the YouTubers out there, I think that's also on them to a very large degree, that they need to also be kind of, you know, looking within themselves and being like, you know, hey, if I'm being asked to keep something on the down low that I think, you know, maybe shouldn't be, I need to either be questioning the company that's trying to ask me to do that, double checking on what I can and can't say, you know, and stand up for, you know, your integrity, for lack of a better way to put it. But anyway, so, you know, maybe we have given this far more coverage than it needed to be given. But it was a very, very big story. It blew up on NeoGAF. It blew up all over M4G. Everybody was crying. You know, the sky was falling. And it just, like, one after the other, the little dominoes were falling. It was just like, you know, this is crazy. Everybody's doing it. It's happening everywhere. And the fact is, it is happening everywhere, but it's not illegal. It is a fairly standard business practice, and it's going to continue.
If I could just add in, Greg, I found one of the things that's interested me recently, seeing a lot of people get their PS4s, and, you know, there's, I'll be following something like Twitter, and someone will come, hey, I'm live streaming me playing Rezogun or whatever it is, and, you know, that's a neat little function, and it's fantastic that you can do that. But if I go in there to go look at it, I have to sit through an advert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no doubt that, you know, it's just part and parcel of all these services.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I came across a website, Examiner.com, which I really don't like Examiner.com, to be perfectly honest, because I find they're a little quirky with some of their stories, and they often will bury, like, what would be maybe a one-page story into, like, three separate views, so you have to click the next page, next page to read the whole thing, which drives me nuts. But this was even worse because I started to read the article and suddenly a pop-up video or a pop-up screen comes up in front of me saying, to view the rest of this article, you need to watch this video. And I was
next.
Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. So, yeah. It is just kind of crazy. And again, I don't think it's going to get any better. Probably just a little bit worse. No. All right, next story, and this was another big bombshell that dropped. Everybody went crazy over this, which was the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition for the PS4 and the Xbox One. Turns out that the PS4 version is getting 1080p with 60 frames per second with some drops happening, and the Xbox One is 1080p with 30 frames per second at a steady 30 frames per second. This blew up because everybody's was like, you know, I thought both versions were going to be 30 frames per second because that is what Crystal Dynamics was saying before. They came forward, I guess Square released a statement saying that they were aiming for 30 frames per second on both consoles, and that's what they were guaranteeing, and anything above that is what they called gravy. and so...
It kind of sounds like they've actually made the PlayStation 4 version worse. Because of the drops in frame rate and stuff I got there, and
so you know, there were some early users that got a hold of the PS4 version, and I wanted to put this out there just because sometimes asking for more isn't necessarily the best thing in the world.
Yeah,
and I've talked about it before. 60 frames per second with frame drops.
You did the fizzer.
Yeah, I got it. So
I'm just letting it go. And 30 frames per second, a steady 30 frames per second, I'll take the locked 30 frames over a 60 frame with drops because that's going to be uneven play. Now, many people argue with that because they want, you know, 60 frames per second. It's got to be better. It's got to be better. Anyway, so early Reddit user got on and said, look, the PlayStation 4 version of Tomb Raider, Definitive Edition, according to him, is not that much better than the PS3 port.
Oof.
It's more or less the same game. Frame rate still stutters. Texture upgrades are not that major of enhancements, and many more things. And basically, pretty much kind of ripped it, saying this should never have been a $60 game, which I fully agree with. I don't think you should be releasing a game from 2013, January 2013, mind you, a year later.
If you look at the both IGN and Games Radar, they say the opposite. They say that the PS4 version of it looks superb, it runs perfectly, and they say it's flawless.
That's good.
So I'd rather take IGN and Games Radar over some dude on Twitter or Reddit or whatever.
You know what? No, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually, that's good to hear. I hadn't seen any of the early reviews yet, and that's why I just, this was the first thing I had seen on it. And that, I hope that is the case. Yeah. I hope there aren't, frame drops.
I might better tell you soon, because I might be getting this, because I love Tomb Raider that much. It was in the top five last year. And I'm tempted to get this on
those
PS4.
Hair effects better be as good as a Timothée advert, really. They have to be.
No, I love Tomb Raider. I think it's a fantastic game. I didn't have any problem with them making another definitive edition for the next gen. I do feel firmly that they are absolutely taking advantage of a next-gen audience that is a bit starved for games in the month of January and putting out a game at full price.
Yeah, I'm going to look for a lot of the supermarkets over here usually undercut the game shops and sell them at like £25 on new releases now and again. So I'm hoping if I see it for that, I'll definitely get it. So that's going to be exciting.
Hasn't it been touted, though, at being about 50 quid?
No, it's actually
on Amazon.
No, well, on Shop 2, it's only 40 quid.
Oh, okay.
£39.95, and normally the new next gen games are £50. So
even still, Mark, we most of us have played this game. Would you play 40 quid again for a Timothée advert hair thing?
I'd probably pay the 25. So if I see a bargain on it, I'll probably pick it up.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think regardless of any frame rate issues or hubbub or 30 frames or 60 frames, the game is worth playing. It's a great game. Again, I would say look for a deal, though.
Got
it. At this point, I think it'll price.
If you haven't played it and you have a PS1 or Xbox One, goodness, get it, because it is a fantastic game.
But again, I would say maybe wait a month. Wait a month, because I think the price is going to drop pretty quick on this.
I can't understand why the Xbox seems to be struggling when it's got the same architecture as the PS4 and PCs. It's not just that. There's an industry insider's mentioned Watchdog runs and looks a lot better on PS4. I can't understand why there's any difference. It should be the same.
Well, they certainly do have different internal architectures in terms of the way the RAM works. I have no doubts that the PS4 is going to probably be, if not marginally better, a lot better at least early games at times.
Yeah. Initially for first year or so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to take developers a little while to get their heads wrapped around the Xbox One architecture versus the PS4, because the PS4 is really straightforward, probably most matches how a PC runs, and the Xbox One, quite honestly, still kind of matches up to the 360 architecture in that it's using, the ESRAM is basically an evolution of the EDRAM that they had in the 360.
Yeah.
And so they're, if the developer has used the 360 before, they're probably going to be fairly comfortable with using the Xbox One. But, there's probably plenty that aren't.
I need a good excuse to get on my Xbox One more, because at the moment my PS4 is just taking all my time, and the PS3.
And that's okay.
Yeah, Titanfall's going to change that, hopefully.
Don't feel guilty. Sorry.
Well, no.
I want both consoles to do well. I'm not biased.
Yeah.
Like before, I was all for the 360 over the PS3, but it's completely switched in my view on these new ones.
And you know what? I think it switched for a lot of people. And again, I want both consoles to succeed.
Yeah, me too.
I think they are succeeding. And I would even like to see the Wii U succeed, because I think Nintendo...
you push it there, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't wish ill will on any company.
No.
I'd love one. I'd love a Nintendo Wii U.
Anyway, so, you know, it is out there, though, and I think this is something that, again, I am, you know, I foresee Watch Dogs probably is going to be, you know, there's going to be some slight differences. I'm just going to throw this out there. To me, most of these resolution differences, I don't see big differences in everything I see. You know, looking at, say, Battlefield 4 compared to, you know, on the Xbox One versus Battlefield 4 on the PS4, in the videos I've seen, yes, I've seen where people are, like, pointing out the differences here and there. But, man, when you're in the midst of these games, I really don't think it's going to matter that much.
Yeah, if it gets good
to the average user, yeah. But I think a lot of people, you know, and this is maybe more towards the hardcore gamers, they really get hung up on those stats. They get hung up on, you know, it's got to be the best top-of-the-line stats. That's what I need. And if it doesn't have that, then it's crap. And it, you know, and there's certainly the other argument to be made, and I, you know, I'll put that out there too, is that PS4 is $100 cheaper, and, you know, and it's got better under the hood stats and performance than the Xbox One. That is compelling, for a lot of people, and I don't blame anybody for making that choice. I will say the two experiences are completely different. Mark, you can probably speak to that just as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know. So it really is a matter of what you're looking for in your home entertainment system, your gaming console, and where you're going to use it, and you know how you're going to use it is really the questions you need to be asking yourself at the end of the day. Not, I don't think, at least, which game is going to have the better resolution, because I think at the end of the day they're going to be close enough. It's really not going to matter. It's the games on the consoles that are going to matter. It's the overall experience and how you game that really matters for what your choice should be. Anyway, we spent a ton of time on that. Let's move on to more positive things. There is a Gran Turismo documentary coming out. It's titled Kaz, K-A-Z. I don't think it has anything to do with Kaz Arai from Sony, but it actually has to do with Kazunori Yamauchi. Wow, if I said that right, I'm proud of myself, but I don't know if that is. Anyway, he is a series producer for Gran Turismo, and so they made a documentary film chronicling the life of the producer and basically you know, producing out Gran Turismo, and it's going to be coming to Amazon and other services on February 5th. It's already launched on Hulu, I believe Hulu Plus, as an exclusive, so if you have Hulu Plus, definitely check it out. But I like seeing these kind of
video
game oriented stuff, and so Gran Turismo is a highly touted racing series with a long history. So I cannot wait to watch that. I'll probably watch it on Amazon. And speaking of Sony, next story, and I thought this was interesting just because again Sony making some strides in other areas that they traditionally haven't. Sony launched a game called Suits and Swords on iOS and Android. And so basically, this is a free-to-play game that mixes fantasy RPG elements with the classic blackjack game. Hmm. And since I love blackjack, and I love RPGs, and who doesn't like a fantasy RPG with blackjack? So I just wanted to throw that out there. So if you have an iOS or Android device, check it out. See what you think.
I'm checking that right out now.
Yeah, me too. There's no reviews yet. Oh, there's a couple.
Yeah. All right.
My mommy said I shouldn't gamble and play with the devil's cards, so I'm not going anywhere near that. Oh, you're all right.
You should play with the devil's cards. It's fun. all right. Let's see. We've got a next little piece of news. Xbox Entertainment hires AMC veteran to develop unscripted video content. So basically, former AMC programming director Ari Mark has now joined Xbox Entertainment Services in Santa Monica, and he will oversee the creation of unscripted video content for Microsoft.
I was just going to say, what's unscripted video content?
That's like
so
the video camera.
This is kind of like just that that Gran Turismo documentary we were just talking about. So previously, Mark worked at AMC doing some original television series, The Pitch, Small Town Security, and he also assisted on the Walking Dead after show called The Talking Dead, which, by the way, I love watching. And he also helped along with the show Comic Book Men. And so basically he's going to be working to create original content such as the upcoming Xbox exclusive documentary series on the New Mexico landfill thought to contain all of the unsold cartridges. So that's coming up this year, and he's going to be doing more kind of content like that. So basically, you know, like documentary type series or talk show type series that'll be, I'm guessing, airing on the Xbox Live service at some point.
Ah, so this is more of a, like the TV side of it, but it's not actually game related, is it?
Right, yeah. Right. And it's original programming.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, it could be. Let's hope it's great. Because, again, any kind of video game kind of documentary style shows, I'm always up for. Let's see. Microsoft also had their quarterly earnings announced. And they said that they... I'll read through this little blurb here, and then we can discuss it if we need to. But it basically was a pretty positive year for Microsoft, or quarter, I should say. So Microsoft shipped 3.9 million Xbox One consoles and 3.5 million Xbox 360 consoles during the second quarter. They're on a fiscal calendar, so that's why they're in their second quarter. So that ended on December 31st. Now, a lot of people have noted that previously they had announced they had sold just over 3 million consoles by the end of December. So there's a bit of discrepancy there, what exactly that means between shipped 3 million and sold over 3 million. In a nutshell, they sold through to retail 3.9 million consoles. But as far as their tracking goes, they knew they had sold through to consumers at least 3.1 million by the end of December. Microsoft also reported $24.52 billion in revenue, and $7.97 billion in operating income for the quarter. The devices and consumer portion of Microsoft business, which houses all things Xbox, grew 13% year over year to $11.9 billion. So
that final figure surprised me. I had no idea that such a large portion of that. You know, the Xbox belonged to such a large portion of Microsoft's revenue.
It's growing close all to the half. Time, yeah.
Yeah. It well, and again, that, you know, the devices and consumer portion of, you know, it has Xbox, it has Surface, it has the Windows Phone, it has all of that wrapped under one umbrella now.
Yeah, but
so,
by you naming those things, you still sit there and think, well, how did that make up half of Microsoft's revenue?
The Zune
bumps it up a bit.
Zune, don't talk bad about Zune, man. I loved my Zune.
I bought a Surface Pro. I've done that.
Yeah, you were part of that, Robin. Mm-hmm. You were part of that. But anyway, so yeah, they definitely had a good year. And I wonder if this now, you know, with these reported earnings, if this quiets a little bit of the calls we were hearing earlier from analysts saying they need to sell off the Xbox division. You know, I'm wondering if we hear more of that clamoring later on in the year, or if this kind of subsides everything. Yeah, we'll see, I guess. Anyway, so that does it for the news.
Wow.
Unless anybody has anything else to report, like if they saw any more reviews on is it the Sony game Suits and Swords?
No, I've downloaded it.
Did you talk about the problems with Nintendo and their financial? Results last week, did you mention?
We did discuss that last week, but we certainly can dive a little bit more into it if you want.
It's just strange, thinking about, you know, I've listened to a few people saying, well, what are Nintendo's options? And I know they're a very cash-rich company with lots and oodles of money sitting there, but I have heard some people talking about, well, I mean, should they drop the hardware and start to make software only now? A bit like Sega done.
There's a curious thing about Nintendo of old and Nintendo of new that I think a lot of people are forgetting, which is Nintendo of old was a privately held company. Mm-hmm. They went public. They now have investors. So as everybody's like, oh, they've got tons and tons of cash, this is the third year in a row they've reported big losses.
Yeah.
And this was a huge year of big loss, not just a little bit of loss. So, you know, at that point, investors start getting really restless.
Oh, God, and, I mean, if I had made those projections, what was it, they projected 9 9 million units and done 2 million units or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have been required to commit hari-kari if you were the guy that made those financial projections and missed the mark by so much.
You would have been fired on the spot.
I mean, with the Wii U, I mean, do they need to do something drastic, like dramatically drop their price, get rid of the gamepad and sell it with a standard controller and then have the gamepad as an optional, you know, to get that price down like the Wii, like, you know, down to, what, $249, $250, something like that there. You know, would that make a big difference?
You know? If they get that price down, you know, you mentioned in passing, Robin, that you'd like to get a Wii U. Mm. I would like to get a Wii U for sure. Too. There's tons of titles on there I'd be interested in playing, but it's still not juicy enough for me to go out and drop.
Let me ask you guys this question. Let me ask you this question: if the Wii U didn't have the gamepad that it has, and it just came with a standard controller, something like the Xbox 360, are you nearly as interested in playing that system? Because to me, that controller is the system.
I know, yeah, but that's only a weird little feature. You know, it's about that fantastic new Mario World that just came out, you know, that is absolutely brilliant. I mean, goodness, if you played Mario Kart on a Wii U, which is supposed to be absolutely brilliant, one of the best versions, the gamepad's a horn. That's all it does. It's, you know, you touch the screen and it beeps your horn, that's it. So
yeah. Yeah, I look at it. I go, if I'm looking at a Wii U package, I'm looking at there's a controller there that is a significant chunk of the money coming out of my pocket that I'm not interested in. It's as simple as that.
No, I probably, if I had one and it was an optional extra, I'd probably get it. But to make that like a pack with like a $200 pack or a $249 pack with Mario World or a Zelda game. Now, without the pad, pay an extra £50 for the pad if you really want it, or get it at a later date. Now, there's something that's sort of attractive. That'll get the numbers up to play those classic in-house games. And if they get the numbers up, then the third-party developers will start to come back to them again. Because all in all, I hear it runs really well. It's a good system. I wonder what will happen. Or will they just carry on regardless for a while?
Well, here's my thought, is that maybe they take the next system, because we know they're going to have a new 3DS or a new handheld system coming up probably in the next year or two. We know they're also at this point, you know, going to need to release some kind of new console hardware. To me, wouldn't the ingenious thing to be, especially now that we know the streaming play thing works relatively well with the Wii U setup, to create a console that the controller really is just a giant handheld, or not even a giant handheld, but it is the new DS, if you will. But it, you know, it has all the power of a console, and marry it in with the console. So it's one system. Instead of having two separate systems, now you're saying not only are you buying your handheld portable, but you're also buying your home console. You can hook this little dongle up to your TV, so it'll play right onto your TV. You know, you can have your DS controller. You know, the handheld unit is one controller. You can buy additional standard controllers to be, you know, for couch play. And then you can take this on the road, and it works just like a 3DS would now out on the wild. You know, very similar in a sense kind of to the PlayStation Vita and how the PlayStation TV is going to interact with the Vita, you know.
That's going to create a console. Magic size.
Yeah. I don't know. Last story. Mark, you just threw this up there, so I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, for those who use the PlayStation Network with a PS3, a PS4 and a Vita, there's some planned maintenance this coming Monday. So it says, we wanted to take a moment to inform you of a planned network maintenance currently scheduled for Monday 27th of January from 5:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Gross Mountain Time. We expect this maintenance to last approximately 6 hours. But this is an interesting part. If you've signed into PlayStation Network any time since the 20th of January, you can still play online games. and partner apps like Netflix. The only thing you won't be able to access is PlayStation Store, PlayStation Home, and management of your account during this time. So it's just a bit of a heads up, really.
Yeah. One, I did not realize there was the... I had heard about this. I didn't realize there was the caveat of you've signed in since the 20th.
Yes.
Or before.
That's interesting. I wonder why. I wonder what makes it that difference.
If your guess is as good as mine. I actually... I openly wondered and got crucified for this in a certain forum for asking this question. I don't get why the PlayStation Network goes down for maintenance as often as it does, for as long as it does. Everybody kind of fired back, well, you can still play games. It doesn't affect that. It's just the store and the account management. That's fine. But, you know, why does it have to come down? I mean, every online store company that I deal with now or know of, they know how to roll their servers over to where they have backup servers that they roll the system onto as they're doing maintenance on those other servers. So you never see a loss of store hours, so to speak. I mean, have you ever seen Amazon go down for system maintenance? No. They're constantly rolling into other servers. It seems like that's like Network 101. I don't get why Sony isn't able to do that.
I think they're still playing catch-up on the networking side with Microsoft. They're sort of like one step behind. They always have been on that side of it.
I guess. I mean, they seem like they've got their act together so much of late that it threw me off when I saw this. I was just like, really?
6 hours as well. That's a long time.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it shouldn't affect most everybody. I guess a few people will be affected by that, depending on if they haven't logged in since the 20th. But, it definitely is worth mentioning. So if you're planning on buying anything, make sure you get it in before then. Otherwise, you'll be SOL. All right, that does it for the news officially. Now, let's transition over to the community mailbag.
Greg, can I interrupt you there, Greg, for a quick second?
It's the news stories that will never end.
This is not a news story. Fraser. I started off this Suits and Swords thing in the background there, right? And
okay.
It's supposed to be blackjack, right? I'm playing against an opponent. I drew 5 cards, and he drew 2 cards and made 20, and he still hit me. Like, dealt damage to me. Shouldn't I be winning on a 5-card draw?
The devil's card.
It depends on what your five cards are.
Right, yeah.
What did it add up to?
17.
Then no. Yes, you lost.
I felt proud for drawing 5.
Basics of blackjack, Fraser. Basics of blackjack. Mm. And also, no, the house always wins. That's the other thing you need to...
It's not a house,
understand.
It's an owl.
Well, the owl and the house... Just don't bet the owl any money, okay? Just don't bet the owl any money. You'll be safe.
Anyway, it looks pretty good.
Okay, all right. Suits and Swords, everybody. Rush out. Download it onto your mobile device of choice. All right. Mailbag time. Question of the week.
One more thing. No, only joking.
Really? What games are you most excited for? This is always a fun one. I like getting this off at the beginning of the year because there are so many games coming up that we've heard about, that we know about, some that we're not as sure about. And so there's a lot of games out there, and, you know, some of them are super exciting. You know, Titanfall is an obvious one. Destiny, I think, also another obvious one that's been out in the media. But there's a ton of other games coming, and we often kind of lose sight of that. So I figured I'll run through a quick list of some of the more prominent ones and a few prominent indie ones that are coming up. And then from there, we can discuss, you know, what we're individually most looking forward to. And then we had some Twitter responses that I'll throw over to Robin. You'll read those out. And so let's go from here. Here are the games. So we've got Destiny coming. We've got Thief, Titanfall, The Order 1886, Tom Clancy's The Division. And again, these are all games that, as far as we know, are coming in 2014 at some time. Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, Alien Isolation, Evolve, Sunset Overdrive, Infamous Second Son, Watch Dogs, Wolfenstein The New Order, The Elder Scrolls Online, Dying Light, Octodad, The Crew, Drive Club, Dragon Age Inquisition, Mad Max, small game called Halo on the Xbox One, War Thunder, The Witness, Transistor, and I should point out War Thunder coming to PlayStation 4.
It's already on PlayStation 4.
Is it already on
PlayStation
4?
Certainly is.
All right, well then, kick that off the list. That's not something
to look forward
to. It's
coming to Xbox One, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah,
I'm not
that
sure
might be
War
Thunder
is.
Yeah, it's already on, but I think it's only Europe. I don't think the US has got it yet, War Thunder, on PS4.
All right, well then there's something to look for the US. Yeah. The Witness, and let's see here. So I said Transistor, D4, Child of Light, and Below. That's a kind of a quick rundown list. There may be others out there. So
yeah, you're missing that really technical what was announced recently. It's going to be a really complicated game, Tetris.
Oh yeah, remake Tetris, yeah, too.
Yeah, I don't think Mark, new consoles will better run that. It might be a bit frame rate dropping on that.
Christ, if that doesn't come out at 1080p at 60 frames per second, the Xbox One is sunk.
Yeah, you've also. Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare.
Oh, yeah.
Garden Warfare, yeah.
That's coming out very soon. That's... You know, that's Game of the Year.
Probably not, but it'll definitely be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But why don't we just run through. Fraser, I'm going to kick it back to you first, being the half.
Yeah, for anything that I... You know what? First thing I'm going to say is I might incur the wrath of a few people. I'm putting more faith in Destiny than Titanfall. I think Destiny sounds... I think that's going to be great. I don't know. Mm. I just have a feeling that they'll deliver on that. I'm not saying Titanfall won't be great, but I think Destiny's going to be the one out of those two are going to be the big battle, and Destiny's the one I'm interested in. I'm very interested in Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. I've got a feeling that's going to be very like Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which I thought was a brilliant game. I sunk a load of hours into that this year or last year. So I think that's going to be good. Infamous Second Son. I'm hoping that's going to be a good game. I really enjoyed the Infamous games. I found, like I said to Mark, I found Infamous 2 a little bit of a drag, but overall I think they're very well crafted games. Elder Scrolls Online, I'm out. The jury's out for that at the moment. I'm not sure.
I think that's so going to depend on what the subscription price is, what the actual model ends up being, because that's, to me, the make or break for that game.
Yeah, that's not the make or break for me. Make or break for me was pointed out to me that, Skyrim itself and games like that are, fantastic games, which are amazing journeys that you take. Just how amazing is it going to be when you've got, idiots just ruining it for you online? I'm not convinced it's going to work or appeal in the way that maybe people who play the Elder Scrolls games are hoping it will. I'm not sure. I really don't know. What I want is some sort of game like Skyrim that I can play with a friend, where I can go and tackle, hordes of bad guys that I need help on, and you're working together, shitloads of people online going nuts. I'm not sure. So
right,
we shall see. I actually put Octodad in there because I hear people talking about that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect from that game at all.
I have a little YouTube video up on my channel of myself and Chris MJW playing it at Eurogamer.
Okay.
And it was such a giggle. It really was. And two of us was going giggling like mad at it. But it's such a funny, funky game. Again, I don't know about the longevity, but it's a great experience. So, yeah.
Okay.
I just want to... I'm looking here. There's one game that I can't see. Oh, Watch Dogs. That's it.
Right.
I know that seems to be beset by delays and whatever, but I've got a feeling I'm really going to like that game when it finally arrives.
I'm hopeful for that as well. Robin, why don't we kick it over to you? What games off this list, or just other games that you kind of have they've got a special spot on your watch list?
Well, I have a pre-ordered Destiny and a pre-ordered Titanfall, and I think Titanfall is going to be great. I hope it's very Modern Warfare 2. I did play, because that was frenetic and I loved that, and that sort of
newsflash. Newsflash. What? You're going to like it.
I know. I played it at the Eurogamer, and it was brilliant. Fantastic. All this crap over the couple of weeks there that was only 6 plus 6. That's pants. We played 6 plus 6 at Eurogamer, and it was brilliant. So you've got 6 players who can spawn a titan each, so that's 6 plus 6 plus another 6 plus another 6. And I've in my little mind, that's 24. Plus you have these SkyDrive bots that are whizzing around there as well. It was frenetic then, it'll be frenetic now. It has mechs. I'm just, as Fraser said there, I kind of think that Titanfall, for me anyway, will lose its legs after 2 or 3 weeks sort of thing, where I think there's an awful lot more game in Destiny. So, yeah, I'm excited for both of those. Thief doesn't interest me in the slightest. The Order, haven't seen enough, just that sort of fantasy trailer. Tom Clancy, okay. Aliens Isolation, I'm interested, but I don't want to get my hopes up that I can actually beat the quality of Aliens Colonial Marines. Evolve looks like fun. I played a bit of Wolfenstein, wasn't much good. Watch Dogs, yeah, okay. I think it's promising an awful lot more than it might deliver. Yeah, so. And then the little one down in the near the bottom here, there's two actually. Transistor, the guys who made
Bastion.
Bastion, and I love Bastion. Yep. That's another experience game that people have to play. Play Bastion. The music alone is fantastic. You build the world. Anyway, there's another one. D4, which is kind of Japanesey, looks kind of wacky. Really strange art style that looks really interesting to me, and the Child of Light again looks very, very interesting. So between big ones that I'm looking forward to, definitely Destiny and Titanfall, and the smaller stuff there that I'd really like to see would be D4 and Child of Light. God, but there's the crew as well. what a wonderful time it is for us. If all of these come out and they're half...
All the promise in the world right now.
Yeah, all the promise.
We'll soon be disappointed, but it's all sitting out there right now. All right, Mark, what about you?
Destiny's a definite for me. Thief, I'm not too sure on yet. That's a possibility. Titanfall's a definite. I loved the E3 footage of the Order 1886, so I'm pretty sure I'll be getting that one. Really looking forward to that one. And it's the same as The Division. That looked amazing, so that's a definite. Witcher 3, I'll probably pick that up. That's looking pretty good. Graphically, it looks absolutely stunning. Evolve, that's only just been recently sort of like bandied about, hasn't it? That looks quite interesting. The Left 4 Dead guys, where you got 4 versus 1. But the one monster sort of like changes and gets stronger, so that could be good. Infamous Second Son, that's a definite. I've got that on pre-order. Same as Watch Dogs. I've been following that they've been showing that for a couple of years now, aren't they, on the different E3s and stuff. Octodad looks fun. It depends on price, though, for me on that one. If it's a nice, cheapish indie game, I'll probably pick that up, but I'm not too sure yet. But I know Chinny loved it, so... If he likes it, it should be good. The two driving games, they're going to be definite for me. Drive Club's going to be definite anyway because it's going to be part of PS Plus, so it's going to be freebie. But The Crew, the MMO one where you're traveling across to the US, if they can pull that off, that is going to be fantastic.
Class,
especially with the community. And that's about it for me. The other ones, Halo... That's a strong possibility. I want to see more of that beforehand.
Right.
It's getting a bit long in the tooth now, isn't it? The Halos, they're getting a bit more of the same. So it depends what they do with that.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. For me, obviously Titanfall sits up there. I have also Destiny on pre-order. I think Destiny, and I think this is why I think it's going to be a huge success. I think you know, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. Destiny is going to fill that Borderlands itch that the next-gen consoles, you know, console owners want. That's Destiny. It is a better version of Borderlands, if you ask me. So that definitely is out there. The Division, I'm excited for, based on what I've seen. I want to be excited for Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, but the reality is every time I play a Metal Gear game, as soon as I start to hear the story, I'm instantly turned off. I'm excited by everything I've seen from this game in terms of graphics and art style, and they're trying to create this open world, but I know I'm going to hear the story, and it's going to be just...
Yeah, I'll ask you, Greg, did you play Peace Walker?
I did not.
See, what you got with Peace Walker, I started that up and had no idea what to expect. It's almost like Metal Gear Solid Lite, where you have some Metal Gear missions, but then it also starts to chuck in a whole new type of game mechanic where you're managing people that you capture. They become part of your crew. There's a whole system of generating money to run your crew. It's a very different game from a full Metal Gear Solid title, and I think that's what Ground Zeroes is going to be like, as opposed to like the full blown Metal Gear Solid 5 that's going to be coming later. So okay. I will keep an eye on that.
All right, I'm open to it. I just ultimately am afraid of it. The Witcher 3 definitely looks good, but it's not the RPG I'm most looking forward to this year. Alien Isolation, also a game I want to be excited for, but I just cannot bring myself to be excited for. This way my disappointment won't be there. If I'm pleasantly surprised, fantastic. I think Evolve is going to be the surprise hit this coming year. I think the idea, the concept is brilliant. So if they can pull that off, I think that game is going to be one of those that comes out kind of in a very Bioshock kind of way and really dominates when nobody expected it to. Maybe kind of like Borderlands did. Let's see. Wolfenstein, I have no desire to play. Robin, you were going to say that?
Yeah, Project Spark is also in there too.
Yeah, that's the free-to-play. That's beta's coming out, I think, next month, so it should be interesting to see. And what I've played, I did dabble a little bit on the PC side. It's very interesting. I need to see more of it before I can say I'm excited about the game part of it. Dragon Age Inquisition, this is the game. This is the RPG I'm most excited for. I've seen some footage of this game. It looks fantastic. And if they can return to some of the roots of Dragon Age Origins, and get this series back on track, I think this is going to be the game I am probably most excited for. As Mark expressed with Halo, it all depends on what we see. I want to be excited for it, but I need to see more before I can truly be like amped up. I think I've said that for the last two or three Halos, and every one of them has sucked me in, and I've loved them, so I have some faith there. In terms of some of the indies, Below is definitely one I'm interested because I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I haven't really seen any footage of it, and I know it's got a good pedigree. I think it's Cappy Games that's making it. So, it's one to be on my radar. Probably that and Octodad, I already have heard so many people talking positively about that that may be a game that I just dabble on PC with. But anyway, so yeah, that's me. All right, let's get into the tweets. Mr. Tate, why don't you ramble through? We had a number of people sounding off on games they're looking
forward
to.
Yeah, that's great response. Timothy Samuel, 4H, he's looking forward to The Witcher 3, Destiny, Titanfall, Shadows of Mordor after this week's gameplay footage. That's exactly
the Lord of the Rings game, yes. Yeah.
We've not seen that. Does it look good?
Shadows of Mordor. Fantastic.
I think the first one was pathetic. I remember hearing Stu Fowler playing it, if it is the sequel to that first one. Great. Yeah, Lord of the Rings game. I mean, God, why can I not get together and just reskin Skyrim and make it Lord of the Rings?
That's kind of what this is. Mm. So
make use of the assets. Watch Dogs, if ever released. So that was Timothy Samuel. Then we have Cinema Dan. Hi, Cinema Dan, 4H. He's looking forward to Strider, of course, you nut.
That's right, Strider.
Yeah, and yeah, Strider. Yeah, you know what? T-shirts and whether it'll be fantastic or not, I think it'll be rose-tinted glasses. But maybe it will be fantastic. Dark Souls 2, you man that wants to be punished. Mario Kart 8, you're a strange man. And that is SSFIV Ultra, which is a fighting game, isn't it? What is that?
Super Street Fighter 4.
Because he likes that sort of thing. So good on you, Cinema Dan. And then we've got Steffi Business. And Steffi Business is quite clear, to the point. There is only one to look forward to as far as Steffi Business is concerned, and that's Star Wars Battlefront. And damn right you are. Because
Battlefront 2 was fantastic.
So get it on.
Let's hope DICE and EA get their shit together with the servers.
Oh, no.
But that game could be so good. Could you just imagine, you know, Battlefield 4-esque, you know, big open maps in, you know, a giant AT-AT walker?
Who wouldn't pay for a really good high-res version of Star Wars Battlefront 2? We would do it. I mean, just do it. Pull my finger. He wants to see 766H. Pull my finger. I'm sure couldn't be 766 of them. There must be a meaning behind that.
I think I've noticed that everyone has a 4H or a 6H next to them.
Maybe. Lords of Shadow 2, without a doubt. Lords of Shadow 2. Do you know what? The Lords of Shadow stuff sort of passed me over. I hear people raving about it, saying it's fantastic. So, and that's only coming out to current gen? Isn't that right? PS3 and Xbox 360? It's not coming to next gen?
Yeah.
The first one says the first one was awesome, and I hear that. You're absolutely right. Teflon, he is looking forward to Titanfall, Destiny, Star Citizen. There's a new one there.
Oh, yeah, Star Citizen.
Below, and Dark Souls 2. That's a good interesting spread there. And Jack of All Blades, The Witcher 3, The Order 1886, Infamous Second Son, and No Man's Sky. Those poor guys
that's
flooded
out. That's
a
nice choice.
No Man's Sky.
Choice,
yeah, I wonder if that's still going to make this year, given the setbacks.
Yeah,
depends if Microsoft or Sony throw them a load of money, don't they really?
Yeah, probably.
I just thought, I mean, there's a project there that I think it's coming out this year. It's going to alpha definitely this year, which is Elite Dangerous, which I am kickstarting, which is the sort of sleek sequel to the original Elite, and sort of No Man's Sky sort of falls into that sort of land as well, where Elite was space warfare and space trading. And this time they're going to bring in some planetary stuff as well. So if Elite Dangerous comes out this year, wow, that would be fantastic too. So, yeah, thanks very much for your responses, guys. All appreciated.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, let's move on into the old events and happenings so we can talk about new releases, all that good stuff. Look, there wasn't a lot going on this week, gotta be honest, in terms of new releases. In fact, very little. But here it is, just in case. On the Wii and the Wii U, nothing. On the 3DS, nothing. On the PS3 and the PS4, nothing at retail. But PSN games, you've got Lucifer Ring, which is a PS1 import, so I believe that's coming to the PS3.
Want to import my ring?
Yeah. Yep, you're going to import your ring for $6, which I think will be like, what, 7 quid somewhere around there with the exchange rate. Then you've got Ollie.
I thought that was a Vita game. Because it's side-scrolling 2D skateboarding game where you use the motion of a Vita. I listened to the IGN podcast last night, and we were talking about it, saying it's pretty good.
Well, maybe just in fact they put this in the wrong spot on the list that I'm looking at. It's coming. And on the Vita, apparently Ollie's supposed to be there. There is a demo, Tokiden, The Age of Demons.
Oh.
It's a free demo out there for the PS Vita. And moving over to the Xbox 360 and Xbox One, nothing at retail, nothing on Xbox Live, There is some DLC for Dead Rising 3, Operation Broken Eagle. I should say, this came on the heels of a massive patch. A 13-gig patch.
Yeah. But it only replaces about two or three, doesn't it? It overwrites a lot of the original install.
Yeah, exactly. So, the good news is, even though it is 13 gigs, which sucks, that the end result for the final game size, it only adds about 2 gigs to the game. So, that's out there. The big winner this week for new games, the PC and Mac in some instances. So we've got Black Guards. That's coming out this week. You've got Insurgency. You've got Kickbeat Steam Edition.
Good
this
luck
is going to be
one.
A...
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Striga Summer Camp. Or Striga Summer Camp. Shitrigger. just type in Summer Camp. Look for it. A Wizard's Lizard. That's also coming out this week.
That's brought
and that
up
is all
Strange Photographs.
This week.
Summer Camp.
And
Broken Age.
And Broken Age, yes. Broken Age, but that is for Early Access, I believe, still.
Oh.
Yes. And again, these are all games that actually have already come out. I should point that out. These are all games that came out this past week, because we now record on Fridays, not Tuesdays, so they're not upcoming games. They're, hey, this is on the store shelves now. Oh. Go out and buy it if you can. So Broken Age, I think, is next week.
Gotcha.
Yep. And I got you... because we're done. So now, let's talk about some play dates. This Friday, upcoming January 31st, there is a Halo 4 Customs game date. So it's going to be held at 8 p.m. Gross Mountain Time, 3 p.m. estimated time. And yes, I know it's not Gross Mountain. I know it's not estimated. Just deal with it, folks. Just deal with it. But check into the forums for more details on who is running that game. I think Shinyverse is behind
Shiny,
it.
Yeah, like I said, we had like an impromptu one last week, and we had so much fun with it. He's setting up another one for this coming Friday.
Awesome. I'll have to fire up the 360 for that. Yep.
I couldn't remember how to press any of it, but I didn't know how to play it. It's been that long. I kept saying, how do you do the assassination? Whatever, and you say, oh, press X. And I was pressing A because I'm used to X now on the PlayStation.
All right, so now I'm going to digress into a news story that I didn't put up, but you now just made me think maybe this was worth talking about. So Microsoft actually filed a patent about the controller iconography. This is a patent dealing with basically the icons on the buttons of a controller. And what their patent is basically is about being able to have those button icons change according to the game you're playing. And this, of course, would be a future controller. It's nothing that is out there now. But, I mean, just for a moment, think about all the times you've fired up a game, a shooter, whatever it may be, that has a similar control scheme to, Call of Duty is a perfect example. Call of Duty and Battlefield share a lot of similar characteristics in terms of how they control, but oftentimes the grenade button is on a different button, the knifing button is on a different stick, and so there's just a little confusion when you're first starting to play. But imagine if your controller, you could look down at it, and the buttons would automatically have icons, like a gun icon for this is the shoot button, a reload icon for this is the button you use to reload. Those buttons could change automatically, like they had some kind of screen behind them, to configure with the game you were playing. To me, that would be kind of brilliant.
It's a neat idea, but it smacks of money.
completely smacks of money. But to me, with manuals disappearing, and now we you get into a game, how many times now have you been wondering, okay, what's the controller layout? You have to pause, go into the settings menu, go then select controller, and then controller layout.
Not very often.
How are you going to save the bumpers and the triggers then?
Well, see, here's my thing. I don't think this would be something that you would be constantly looking at, but I think it would be something you might reference for the first few times you play. And maybe it's something more, apt for the casual market, and I put my quotes up there, which maybe makes some people roll their eyes. But I wonder, maybe there is some merit there. Maybe that would make the controller experience a little more friendly for somebody that's new to it, because they could just look down at it and know, oh, okay, these are the buttons for this. Instead of
who are we
going to
shout out
say,
bloody noobs when we're playing? We need those noobs.
I used to use paper cutout keyboard overlays for my Rubberkid ZX Spectrum. Is that the same thing here? Is it like sort of almost like it's a keyboard overlay
for your controller? It's the same idea, but it's not an overlay, at least from what I was reading up. It actually would be something that it would be internally in the controller.
Like
so that the actual
in your controller?
Yes, little people in your controller pushing up different pictures under the buttons. So it's like the PlayStation 4 controller. When you look inside and you see all those little robots in Playroom. In the Playroom there are, in your controller, you have all those little robot people.
Wow, so
haven't you seen those videos?
Are brilliant.
Yeah. So all those little robot people would be pushing up different icons to the controller.
Yeah. Mine is still in there. I won't let the boogers out.
Don't. They're dangerous. They're dangerous.
They make too much noise.
All right. Let's move on. We had some birthdays this past week, and upcoming birthdays, I should say, as well. So, Robin Tate, you got older.
I was 23. 45.
Many years ago.
How the hell did I ever get to 45 years old? That's ridiculous. I still feel like I am, I don't know, 25, 24. Yes, a heck of a lot more responsibility. But do you know, in the scheme of things, I'm a hell of a lot fresher at 45 than my dad was. There's a lot of people at 45 are old people, and I can't really consider myself one of those. I'm a gamer till the day I die, and hopefully as funny, laughable, lighthearted as I can be. But those buggers this week annoyed my head! Anyway, so yes, I do get grumpy on Saturdays. My wife told me today I get grumpy on Saturdays because I'm out of my work routine. And it takes me until Sunday to get out of my work routine. So, yeah, I'm a grumpy old
man. Well, happy birthday,
old
man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I had
lots of
lovely people on Facebook and Twitter wishing me happy birthday. So thank you very much, all those guys.
And, welcome.
Thanks for the present, Greg. It was lovely. Thanks.
Anytime.
Extra
anytime.
Cash. Extra cash in my weekly check. Brilliant.
We also want to wish a big happy birthday to Nicole Lamarth.
Happy birthday!
Cog logo for the win. Happy birthday to you. And happy birthday to Duke Scath.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Yes. Eric Piotrowski.
You're the man.
You're getting older, too.
You're a grumpy bugger as well.
Pretty sure he embraced it, too, because he just, like, shaved his head bald, didn't he? He's just gone straight up, shaved it all off.
He's going to look like Homer Simpson.
All right, I also want to welcome to the site some new members. We've got Smurftastic23. We've got Bawbag, also joined the site.
Friends with Pull My Finger.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bawbag, oh, class.
We've got Jazzy 246, Manuel Mama. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. Garrett Leedy. I'm pretty sure these last two are not real members, but I do want to shout out Blade because I know he is an actual new member. She. She, he, I don't know. I just read the names, man. I just read the names. But thanks for joining the site. If you want to join the Gate forums, it's simple. Just go to them. We'll force you to sign in and join up. It sounds kind of daunting, but it's not. We do have some victories achieved this week. Our good friend Shinyverse is running a victories achieved contest for the Gate community. Basically, every quarter, anybody who completes a game, you take a picture of the final game screen with your face somewhere in that picture and or something approximating your face, and you send that to @g4te.com. You got to spell the dot, and you send that in to them. Let them know what game you just beat, and you get entered into a contest for a chance to win a $20 gift card for either PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. And this week's victories achieved go to Amaras89 for finishing Assassin's Creed 4. GamerGirl27 finished The Maw. Marcanix, you finished Skylanders Swap Force. Woo-hoo. We had ChrisMJW finished Bioshock Infinite.
The man.
And John Mouse finished Dead Island.
He's a nice little chap.
Yes, we also had Dr. C. Smith finishing Guacamelee.
Wehey, Guacamelee!
And Batch, I'm so sorry, Batch, you finished Aliens Colonial Marines.
He's the man! He is, I heard him pee. Woohoo!
And last, but certainly not least, Kern456 finished State of Decay and The Wolf Among Us Episode 1. So congratulations to all of you victory achievers. You've got a few more days before the contest ends for this quarter. It's ending up January 31st is the last day to submit. So get to it, get gaming, get completing. And, yeah, from there we go into the kind of the final round, guys. It's the closing notes. We certainly want iTunes reviews, so if you're listening to the show, please, by all means, give us iTunes reviews. We definitely want them. They help us get more visibility, and more visibility means more gamers find us, and that's a good thing. You can email the show. It's real simple, podcast@g4te.com. And if you email the show, we'll usually talk about you in funny ways. You can tweet us @OC_podcast. And either myself or usually Mr. Richard Primrose are manning the Twitter account, so we'll definitely try and respond back in kind. And I guess it's shout-out time, so let's spin this around. Certainly if you have Twitter handles, now is the time to talk about it. Mark, why don't you go first? More don't go first, Mark. How about Fraser?
I was on
you
mute.
Go first.
Sorry. Sorry. Oops. I did a Chris
Mark,
for you there, Luna.
You go right ahead, yes.
Yeah.
Technology.
My Twitter handle is MarkAnix, same as my gamer tags. And I'd like to shout out the old gamers gaming community. We've just recently had a bit of a collaboration with them, and we played Battlefield 4 with them tonight. They're a great bunch of guys. A lot of them are the new members who've signed up, like Smurftastic, Borbag, and Jassy. They're all from old gamers. So, yeah, nice to be affiliated with them guys. And Fraser, go.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to the veteran gamers because I've been going back listening to all their old episodes. I got, you know, quite a few to get through. So a lot of nights I'll go to bed, put the old iPod on or MP3 player, whatever it is, and listen to it. And then I was listening to an older episode from about a year and a half back. And as I was lying there, my wife was asleep next to me and I was just couldn't stop laughing. And I thought, and so I just want to give a big shout out to any podcast that can make me laugh like that. Mm-hmm. It was great. So those guys, they, you know, they do a fantastic job, and that's my shout out. Robin.
All right.
Yeah, well, I want to say hello to Parsnip this week. Parsnip knows, because on Facebook he comes up with some really witty stuff that we call comment on, and it's made me giggle. We were talking about Tool Time this week, and that old sort of soap opera thing that was on TV with Tim Allen. More power. Yes, and exactly. It's brought all those memories back again. So thanks, Parsnip. I want to say hi to Ordy as well, David. David has been in the Forza 5 Hot Lap Challenge around Laguna Seca. That's open until the end of this month. Get on it, guys. I bet none of yous can beat my time. Anyway.
Cheater.
Ordy's had a bad eye, and I think it's been from driving his Mr. Bean Mini. So, look, Ordy, I hope your eye clears up soon, and best wishes. And finally, to Destination Gamer, the guys that have been recording Alien Colonial Marines and putting up gameplay videos, for me to have to listen to them pee in the toilet after he took a break from his recording, I can't unhear that. It's affected me for life. For goodness sake, never, ever do that again. Please edit it out of that video before you damage people for life as well. So, Destination Gamer, guys, thank you very much. And if you want to catch me, the best way to get me is on Twitter. And if you just send it to the Queen at Buckingham Palace, she will forward it to me. But if not, and you want to be directly straight to me, @BongoTheSane will get it straight to me.
Fair enough. All right, well, you know, I'm going to do a quick comment on the veteran gamers, because Fraser, you brought up a memory when you were talking about their podcasts and laughing. God, it was years back. They did this crazy long podcast. It was over 4 hours, and I had downloaded it, not realizing how long it was. and I was listening to it late at night. I fell asleep, full asleep, on the couch, woke up around 5 o'clock in the morning, still going.
yeah.
And I immediately just started laughing, thinking, oh, my God, how long have they been podcasting for? So, yes, they have produced some very good shows, and they are definitely worth a good listen.
Really,
as are the Game Punchers, Boss Wave Podcasts, Mojo Interactive. I mean, there's a lot of good community podcasts out there. So
Game ever, that would be.
Ever, yes. Anyway, and I think that more or less does it for us, guys. I want to thank all of you for being on the show, and certainly if you want to catch me on Twitter, it's OC_Murphy's Law, and I'm on there constantly yelling at people. So that's, yeah, I stir a lot of shit up on the internets. And, yeah, that's it, guys. We're done.
We're done. We're out of here.
Yes, we are.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, you sound a little down.
Yeah. It's been a tough week and a tough few days. I've had a very challenging client, and to be honest with you, if I had had a gun today, I probably would have shot him.
Yay! Great for customer.
I do have a request.
Yeah, okay.
It's from the internets, Robin, and this is directed specifically at you.
Okay.
People are asking that you not speak Irish, but English.
Wow. There's two shots in that shotgun.
I'll do my best. You guys just talk amongst yourselves. We are recording already. So there's miracles that happen with my computer.
You've actually got it working. It's not after another process died or something.
So here's the funny thing. So critical process died. That was the screen I kept getting for like 2 days in a row.
So Windows,
I said, F it, unplugged everything, pulled it out. And then I looked at the case and I was like, holy crap, okay, one, this thing is dustier than hell. So I actually did a cleaning of the computer. And then I had it just sitting there, and I was realizing I was kind of effed because stupidly I had never created a system backup disk for Windows 8, because when I had done the upgrade, Microsoft did for like $40, you could upgrade to Windows 8 back in the day for cheap, and it was all a digital upgrade. So you just did it, you downloaded it directly from their server.
Not back.
So then I'm like, crap, I can't do anything to restore this. I don't have a system disk. I don't have access to, you know, I can't just turn my computer on and download it again because I can't get on the internet. So I was going through all the steps to get a backup disk today and was in the process of doing that. And I said, well, screw it. I'll fire it up and see what I can, if I can get it up in safe mode, like you guys have been alluding to previously. It fires right up. So suddenly I feverishly created a system backup disk. I did all these other things. I'm like, just to be safe. All right, gentlemen.
That was good fun.
Yes, it was. Go enjoy your evenings.
Hey, guys,
weekends.
You know what? I came in to you.
Great gap, close the show. Oh, fella.
So shitty.
Let him close the show, Bunko.
Shitty, sorry. So shitty, shitty form. And you know what? This has really, really cheered me up. I knew it was going to do that, and thank you, guys. Okay, let's talk about our terms and conditions, Greg, while we have you on here, because we've been talking off air, and that we don't think it's fair that you are seen to be the superstar of all this whole podcasting thing here, and we want a bit of more of a cut of that, some of the personal appearance fee money, I mean, opening supermarkets, that sort of thing, your name on milk bottle cartons. We want some of that joy too. So why are you keeping this all to yourself?
I've opened a supermarket, but trouble is you got done for breaking and entering.
Yeah. I would also like to point out the fact that I was on the side of a milk carton was not actually a positive thing. I was lost in the woods for quite a while. That was quite scary. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts,
similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, people say.
Come on. Yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out. VGHub.net is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.